Last week we started not quite a series, but kind of a collection of talks about rooted, not stuck, right? So how we can remain rooted in God and not stuck in the space we find ourselves in. And we spoke about faith versus feelings, living according to faith and what the word says versus living according to how we feel in the moment. And this week I really felt for us to talk about how to wait well, right? Waiting well. Is anyone really good at, like, waiting? No. Everyone's like, heck no. There we go. One brave person. He's like, me, I'm kind of good at waiting. And that guy over there. Come on. I feel like I'm okay at it, you know. It depends what's happening after I'm waiting. Like, if I'm waiting for someone or something, but I need to be somewhere, then I'm like, I hate rushing. So I don't like to rush. Like, I want to give myself time. So if I'm like, I have nothing else to do, I can wait all day. I can be pretty patient. I'm more patient with kids than I am with adults because I'm like, you grown, you should know by now. Like, you've lived life, like, you should know this by now. So I'm not like good, but I'm not bad. I'm like okay at waiting. Like, I can wait for like till a point, and then I'm like, okay, I'm done now. Does anyone feel like they're in a season of waiting? Hey, okay. Well, everyone's like, yes, that's us. Great. Well, I'm glad we're talking about this today then. How's it going? Waiting, season of waiting. Everyone's like, it sucks. Get me out of here. I'm done. I think even if we aren't in like a season of waiting, and I think as Christians, we kind of, you know, we use weird terminology. We're like, I'm in a season of waiting. What? Like, when you think about it, you're like, what do you mean, bro? Like, in a season of waiting. Like, are you waiting for your McDonald's? Like, what are you waiting for? Like, in a season of waiting. But to an extent, we're all waiting, right? We're living, waiting, expecting for Jesus to return and waiting patiently to experience that future glory that we've been promised. I remember a season where I was like, I'm in a waiting season. And I was so dramatic. As I am, in case you haven't caught on already. But I remember I just finished high school. In high school, I was convinced that I'm going to be a physiotherapist. Clearly, that was not the plan, right? Because I'm here right now, not in a hospital. But I was convinced. I was like, I'm going to be a physio. I'm going to be a sports physio. And I'm going to travel the world with a Springboks. And I'm going to live my best life. And I'm going to be independent. I was like, I had plans, right? I was like, this is my life. My dad was like, amen. Like, go. Go for it. My mom was like, yes, that's great. And 6 months in, varsity holiday came around. And our kids' pastor at the time was on maternity leave. And my pastor was freaking out because he had to do this kids' church program for a whole week, and he had no idea what he was doing. Because our kids' church leader had always taken care of it. So I said to him, like, hey, I have time, like, just shout. I've been serving in this kind of holiday club program since I was a kid, so I kind of get what we're supposed to do or, like, the gist of it. Let me come and serve, and I'll help out wherever you need. And he took full advantage, and for like 3 weeks leading up to this holiday program, as the church every day, we were planning, preparing, from crafts to who was going to preach to decor. We were involved in it all. And keep in mind, I had zero interest in ministry. I loved serving in church, would never not serve in church, but I had zero interest in it being my life, like, you know. And it was a Thursday night. We'd had an amazing week where we were seeing kids come to know God. And I was standing in worship. And I just felt this, like, heavy impression on my heart of, this is it. And I was like, well, I'm literally studying physiotherapy. What do you mean? And, like, even getting into physio was a miracle. Like, literally, like, God opened a door last minute for me to do that. So I was like, what do you mean? But you opened this, like, door miraculously. Like, why would you give me a miracle if it wasn't what you planned for me? I was like, what's happening here? And so I was like, nah, whatever. And then God was like, no, like, Jordan, this is it. Like, this is where I want you to be. And so I was like, okay. So I went to my pastor and I was like, hey, this like weird thing happened during worship. And I just really felt this impression in my heart. He's like, I've been waiting 6 months for you to come tell me. I'm like, damn, if that's not confirmation, I don't know what is. And the moment he said that, I just had this excitement in me. I was like, okay, like, you know, I wasn't looking for it, but God's kind of put this thing in my place. And I'm like, great. And I went home like so excited. And my dad's a very like analytical guy. So I made like a whole PowerPoint presentation of, because now I'm already in a degree that he's very happy for me to be in. Keep in mind, at the time, he was not so happy with the church in general. So I'm like, oh, I don't know how well this is going to go down. Like, he loves God, just not so trusting of church and church people. And I did this whole thing. I was like, I really feel called to ministry. Like, my pastor was, like, very similar to Pastor CJ. And he's, like, hyped. He was like, you can go study this, and you can go here and do this and fulfill this role in the church. And, like, he was hyping me up. So I went home, like, I'm full of hype. I'm so excited. And I share this with my parents, and they're like, no. I'm like, hold up. like, I really feel like the Lord's speaking to me about this. And I feel like when God speaks, we can't just be like, no. So I'm gonna run through it again. So I explained it all again. I'm like, you know, Pastor Grant, he agreed. God spoke to him about this. Like, I really feel like I've never felt like this. I really feel this is what God's saying for my life. My dad's like, no. He was like, no, you can finish your degree. And when you finish physiotherapy, if you still feel like this is something you want to do, then you can go do it. I was crushed. I was crushed. And you know, when you know something's next, you don't want to wait for it. Like, you're like, oh my God, but like, this is the thing God said. Like, I wasn't even looking for this, but God said, this is it. And now you're saying no. And I had a decision to make. I could either disobey my parents, right? I could be like, well, peace out, God said, so I'm doing my thing. But the word of God says I need to obey my parents and I need to respect and honor them. So I was like, cool, God, I don't want to do this if my dad's not behind me, if he's not supporting me, if he isn't at least open to the idea of me being in ministry, which would have been a long shot at that point, where my dad was at. So I was like, cool, I'm going to do this. And I continued studying physiotherapy. 2.5 years later, guys, I was miserable. I did not wait well. I was so miserable. I was depressed. I was like suffering through my studies. I was so dramatic about everything. Like, I was like, my life's ending. Like, well, how long is this going to take? You know, when you're just being dramatic, like 2.5 years is not a long time. Like the Israelites, 40 years. Like, that's a long time. 2.5 years, not so bad. And I was sitting at the dinner table and just like being dramatic and eating my food. And my dad was like, do you still want to, keep in mind, I'd never brought it up again. I was like, God, he's going to bring it up and you're going to shift his heart. And then I know it's time. And literally 2.5 years later, we're sitting having like Sunday lunch. My dad's like, do you still, like, are you happy? And I'm like, yeah, like, you know, I'm happy. I'm not like depressed. And then he's like, do you still want to go into ministry? I was like, yeah. Like, that hasn't changed. I'm still here. I know it's what God's saying for my life. He was like, okay, cool. Just like finish your exams and then like apply to go change your degree. I'm like, okay. I'm like, so where are you going to study? And I was like, well, you know, on the PowerPoint presentation, I said I'm going to study here, so I can apply there and see. And he's like, okay, cool. Like, apply and see if you get in. If you get in, you can tell your university, sorry, but you're not going to continue your degree. And I got in. COVID happened. Luckily, I was studying online. and still then, it was like, cool, I'm studying, but now, like, I'm in the middle of COVID. Like, I'm supposed to, like, step out, be in ministry, like, do the whole thing. And, like, we all stay in our houses for a year. And I was, like, studying, but I was like, this is not exactly what I thought was going to happen. You know, we often think, like, oh, it's going to happen like this. And sometimes the story God has written for us is exactly what he needs it to be, but not what we expect it to be. And I think if I had waited well in that season, what was 2.5 years could have been 6 months. And I think if I sought the Lord and really, like, in the season I was in, gave my all, because I'll be honest, I didn't give my all. I was like, I'm so over this. I was barely scraping by. I was missing class, staying in bed. I was like, just so over it because I didn't want to be there. And in my mind, I was, in my immature mind, I was like, I'm never going to use this, so what's the point of studying, because this is not what God's called me to. And I had this inner dialogue running in my mind, where if I think I had honored the season I was in and waited well, I think the time that I waited could have been a lot shorter. Obviously, God knew exactly what was going to happen and the timing of it, but I really believe that if I'd waited better and if I'd stewarded that season better, then I wouldn't have been waiting as long as I did. Lamentations 3, verse 25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Micah 7, verse 7 says, but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. So what does it look like for us to wait well, right? When you read those scriptures, they talk about how the whole being waits and we put our hope in the Lord. And I think when we're waiting, we fall into one of two traps. Some of us, we fall into both. The first one is we take things into our own hands. So we receive a word, God speaks to us about something, or we feel he speaks about something, and then we are impatient with the timing of it. So we take it into our own hands and we try and make it work, right? We think of Abraham. So God gave Abraham a word. He was already like pretty old, like bordering on Opa, you know. And God was saying how he's going to give him this inheritance and bless him. And he says, but God, what good is your blessing if I have no one to leave it to? And God says, like, don't worry, I'm going to give you a son. Not only does he say, I'm going to give you a son, but he talks about how his descendants will be vast. In Genesis 15, verse 5 to 6, it says, he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So we see how a word is released, right? Abraham enters into this promise with God that he's going to get a son. The next chapter, guys. That was Genesis 15. Chapter 16. You know these people. We read how his wife, Sarah, just makes a suggestion to Abraham to take Hagar, her maidservant, and have a baby with her, right? Sarah's like, I'm getting old. Just like if God said you can have a son, just take my maidservant and have a baby with her. Then at least I can have a son, you know? First of all, if anyone ever tells me the Bible is boring, guys, they're reading the wrong Bible. Like, the Bible is crazy. So Abraham was impatient, and he took the promise of, I'm going to get a son. Instead of trusting the timing that God had for him, he was like, I'm going to just have a son with someone else then. Because, like, you know, I'm promised a son. This is how I see it going to happen. So there, I have a son. And when we take things into our own timing, it can be very dangerous. We see how that story plays out. If you haven't read that story in Genesis, go and read how Ishmael and Hagar like go through so much suffering because of this, and how the family is put into so much just turmoil because they didn't wait in the timing. And God is so good. He still gave Abraham and Sarah a son, like well into like their age, like the literally impossible. Like, guys, they were so, so old. Like, great, great, great grandma vibes. And he was so faithful. No, but guys, we need to, like, think. It's not like, oh, she's 40 or she's 50. No, she's, like, this is Old Testament, like, close to hundreds, you know? Like, literally impossible. And can you imagine them, like, I've been waiting 50, 60 years to have a son, and it's looking impossible, and God is faithful. So we have to trust his timing. But when we take it into our own hands, it never ends well. Exodus 33, verse 14 to 16 says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? And when we take things into our own hands, we leave him behind, and we start moving in our own strength. We end up going without him. The second trap we fall into is that we become immovable, right? We are so afraid of making the wrong decision, of taking a risk, that we become completely immovable. We don't make any decisions and we don't commit to anything. We go into hiding and we just sit and we wait for God to say something. And when we're living like this, it takes a lot to get us going again. Then we fall into the trap of, okay, God, if this is really you, then show me this. And God, if this is you, you need to speak to this person on this day, and they need to use this word, and then I'll know it's you. Meanwhile, we're patiently waiting for God to speak, and then we're putting all the T's and C's in how we need to speak. We're saying, God, if this is you, I need to see 5 butterflies this week. And if I see 5, and if they're all orange, then I know it's you. Guys, this is the God of the universe. And we're saying, if you meet these terms and conditions, then I'll believe it's you speaking, and then I'll move. You know, like, what can we be so bratty? There's this saying, you can't steer a ship that isn't moving. So if we're sitting stuck and we're waiting and we're in the harbor and we're like, God, please, God, please, God, please. He's like, hey, just move. Like, just because I haven't given you the answer you want and spoken into the thing you're asking me for doesn't mean I'm not speaking. Doesn't mean I haven't already called you to do something. Right? We all have the great commission that God's called us to. Meaning he's already called us. It might not be a specific thing that we're seeking. It might not be, you know, this is how you're going to do it. But if we can't already be operating in the season we're in, fulfilling the calling he has for us, then how can he trust us with what's next? Matthew 12, verse 38-39 says, one day some teachers of religious law and the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority. But Jesus replied, only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. Can we please put an end to this confirmation after confirmation after confirmation? If you don't know how to confirm a word, right? If God has said something to you or you feel like God is speaking, there's two things you can do. You can go to wise counsel, your pastor or your leader, and you can share it with them. And if they witness with it, pretty good chance that you are... That's a nice song. The guy's he's jamming out there. There's a pretty good chance that you're hearing from God. And when I say wise counsel, I mean wise counsel. I'm not saying go to your bestie that's been reading the Bible for 2 weeks. I'm saying go to your pastor. You know, go to your pastor. Go to someone who's wise, someone who's lived life, who's heard the word of the Lord. The second thing you can do is to go to the word. God is never going to speak to you and ask you to do something that contradicts what he says in his word, right? If you are following God and are trusting the Holy Spirit to lead you, wherever you are right now is exactly where God wants you to be. Often we allow our own desires to get mixed up with what God's called us to, and then we get impatient because we're asking God for the wrong things, right? We're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting, and God's like, I didn't put you in the waiting season. Like, I didn't tell you to wait. I told you to go and work. I called you to do something, and now you're sitting on your bum waiting for me to speak, but I didn't ask you to wait. I didn't ask you to take a seat, sit back, and watch. And if I can be honest, I think majority of the time, we put ourselves in waiting seasons. Even the term waiting season, like, I don't see a season, like, the only time I see it in the Bible is when the Israelites are leaving, right? But then it was supposed to take 11 days, and they made it take 40 years. They put themselves in a waiting season. Their waiting season wasn't a waiting season. It was a journey to the next stop, right? They were going to go. They were going to worship. They were going to go to the promised land. But because of their disobedience, it took 40 years. They put themselves there. So maybe we're putting ourselves in the waiting season. There are times where we're waiting for God to speak about something. But that doesn't mean our whole season is defined by that waiting, right? It means that, yeah, I'm waiting for God to answer me and to speak into something. But there's still a whole lot that I'm meant to be doing right now while I'm waiting for that answer. Waiting well means actively waiting. We don't stop living. Waiting well means waiting in obedience. If we look again at the Israelites in the wilderness, it was because of their disobedience that because of them not trusting what God had for them in the promised land, not willing to go, right? What was 11 days took 40 years. What could have taken me 6 months took me 2.5 years. There's work to do in the waiting. And every season of our lives has a purpose. Literally nothing is wasted. Even for me, if I look back at those 2.5 years, I wasted nothing. Like, everything I learned during that time are things that I still draw from now. Our disobedience can really cost us. For the Israelites, it was 40 years, but for most of them, they never saw the promised land. And I don't know about you, but I don't want an 11-day trip to take me 40 years. There's something in each season that we need for the next. So if we're not learning what we need to learn in the season we're in, we cannot step into the next season. So there's this saying that God moves as fast as our obedience. So sometimes, did Andre say that? Ah, there we go. Andre said it. There's a saying. It was from Andre. God moves us fast to our obedience. Are we fully investing in the season we are in, where we find ourselves right now, or are we preoccupied with what's next, or how are we going to get there, when we're going to get there? Are we just floating, waiting for the next thing to happen to us? I did an internship a few years ago, and during orientation, this guy told us, you're only going to get out of this what you put in. And I was like, okay, drop the mic. And I think that's true with life. We only get out of life what we are willing to invest into it. You will only get out of this season what you are willing to invest and put into this season. To wait well is to work in the waiting, right? We wait well by being obedient. We wait well by working in the waiting. Jesus has called us all and commissioned us. We read the scripture this morning in Matthew 28 that says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This is not dependent on the season we're in. This is not dependent on how we're feeling in that season. This is for every season, till the day we breathe our last breath. If we look at, Pastor DJ shared a few weeks ago how it was 10 years before they came to JBA to plant this church, that he heard God speak to him about planting a church in JBA. He didn't now make ways to try and get to JBA, try and find an open door, and only focus on, I'm planting a church in JBA. No, he moved to Durban, he went to America, he went all over, moving church to church, he went to Bible school, all knowing that, okay, this is something God's spoken, and I'm keeping the vision there, and everything I'm doing in this season, I'm learning and growing, so that when I'm there, I'm equipped and I'm ready for it. But he wasn't like, let me quickly try and make a way, you know? He wasn't like rushing to do it. He was trusting the timing of the Lord. He didn't stop everything and sit and wait for God to open a door to come back to JBA. No, he continued to seek God about it, and he remained where God needed him to be in that season. And I think we waste so much of our own time by sitting and waiting when God never asks us to wait. He's saying, I'm going to speak. Trust me in that. I will speak to you. But there's things that I've asked you to do in the season that you haven't completed yet. So how can I speak into the next season if you haven't done the things that I've asked of you already? And we delay ourselves because we're so focused on, oh, the grass is greener over there. And, oh, when I get there and when I do that and I'm on that platform in front of those people and when I'm in this season of space or when I hold this title at work or when I'm earning this amount of money, then. But God is saying, hey, if you aren't stewarding this well in the season you're in, if you're not taking this seriously, and if you aren't pouring everything into this season and you just slap waiting season over it and you hope that the next thing comes, then how am I going to get you there faster? Because he's only going to move as fast as you are obedient. So if we aren't obedient in this season, because I guarantee you, you probably prayed for things that are happening in this season, but we're too blinded by what's coming next to realize we're living what we prayed for, right? I can think back to so many prayers I prayed as a teenager that I'm walking in now that I could be so blind by because I'm holding on to a prophecy shared by some pastor and I'm not there yet, so I'm getting frustrated. But there's things I need to learn in this season that's going to hold my character to be able to sustain me in the next season. There's things I need to learn about being in the quiet space with the Lord and seeking him and things I need to learn in his word that I need to know now so that when I'm walking in that, I have a firm foundation, that there aren't any cracks. And when we rush it and when we take it into our own hands, that's when we see people fall. That's when we see people burn out and end up leaving the church because they've rushed it. And they try to take it into their own hands and they're like, no, but God said, so I'm going. God said, but he didn't say go now. He said, hey, this is what I've called you to, but it could be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. But we get so excited that in our eagerness, we step, but the step's not there yet. There's still things that you're missing. You're trying to hop step your way through life. And God's saying, hey, I've put the steps in front of you for a reason. And in every season you're in, and in the space you're in, there's a lesson to be learned. And there's things to grow in so that when you get there and when you're walking in that prophetic word that was released, you're ready for it. And you might not feel ready in terms of like, oh, this is scary, but you're ready for it and that you're equipped. Your character is strong. Your relationship with God is strong. You're stewarding things well that you won't crumble. that you won't fall and you won't burn out. To wait well is to wait in expectation, not losing hope. To wait well is to give our all, glorifying God in everything we do. To wait well is to be obedient to the season he has us in. To wait well is to be obedient to his timing. And to wait well is to surrender the plan completely. I just want to pray for us as we close. Father God, we thank you that, yeah, Holy Spirit, you will just show us where we haven't been waiting well, where we've labeled seasons waiting and we've kind of left ourselves on the side, God, that you would show us how to steward the season well that we find ourselves in, not to get so caught up in what's next that we miss what's happening now. God, would you show us the lessons we need to learn right now that are going to carry us through life? God, would we be like the psalmist that says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. God, you know, we know that you've called us and you've commissioned us. And God, we don't want to go if you're not going with us. How will people know that you are pleased with us and that we are your people unless you go with us, Lord? So we ask, Holy Spirit, right now, as we sit here in your house, that you would show us ways that we're being impatient. Would you show us ways that we're trying to rush things? And would you show us where we're being immovable, where we're not doing what you've asked of us, where we're not surrendering completely to your timing? Holy Spirit, we thank you for the plans you have for each and every one of our lives, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans for a hope and a future. God, we thank you for every word released over every single person in this room, Lord. We thank you for the plans you have for our futures, for what you've called us to, for the impact that we'll have in this kingdom, Lord. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would show us what we can be doing now to prepare us for what's coming next, Lord. Would we be able to dig deep in this season, Lord, being fully invested in what you have for us now and not being impatient and rushing to get what's next. We thank you, Jesus, that you will lead us and you will guide us this week and you will show us how to wait well. Amen. Amen.